Line of Beyond Retro. I'm Joe Amato, and I'm here with Nasty Nate Kennedy. I'm also here with the man with the steel trap for a mind, Tyler Baker. So, what's up, guys? You ready for today's show?
Naughty Jungle of Love.
Yeah. For anyone that wants to know why Nathan's called Nasty Nate, that's a reference to the movie Half Baked with the inmate that's trying to get a hold of Kenny when he's locked in prison. So, if you're a fan of Half Baked, the big black guy in that movie named Nasty Nate, that's Nathan has carried that nickname since high school and deemed himself as such, you know.
Well, I'll make sure to always call you that. When I do the intro for you, I'll always call you that. I have to do that.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, so yesterday on Capes and Commentaries, of course, we were doing another commentary for Batman the Animated Series. And it came up about the video game, The Adventures of Batman Robin for Super Nintendo, like, did I ever play it? Because Tyler was talking about it, and I played the Genesis one, I played the Sega CD one. I was like, how the hell did I miss out on the, I don't know how I missed the Super Nintendo one when I played all the other Super Nintendo Batmans, the Genesis ones, but you guys got me giddy about it. So I popped it in yesterday, I played it, went through and beat it, but it was a very, very fun game. One, I'll tell you about some of my highlights, but the one level that wanted me to, I was so tempted, I was having old flashbacks of rage and where I wanted to crush the controller, was that damn driving level. Who the hell made that? God, was the control so clunky of making the Batmobile go like this, that, oh, you got to line it right. And then when you do these turns, at what? Trust me, from me playing games, and I don't know about you, Nathan, because I know you get, you know, anal stuff, but I played so many damn racing games and games that had the Batmobile and some good driving things. That was the worst part of the whole game. I loved everything else, but I hated that damn racing part.
See, I need to go back and play this game because I didn't get that far in it when I had played it before. So I need to go back and give this a shot and see what it's like. I imagine I will probably end up agreeing with you with clunky driving controls.
I didn't get it. The side scroller is beautiful because that's what the basic game is. It's a side scroller, but yeah. You're using your brain, you're solving little puzzles, you have, you know, like gadgets and stuff that are specific to each kind of level. But this level just felt off. It almost felt like the developers of the game got an outside group of people just to do the racing part because it did not feel like a gel well. First, let me just say hello to Tamara Shipper, Jake Juglo, Chris Simpson, and JSP. Hello, all of you guys. Thank you for joining us. But no, it felt real funky. It was like, I don't know. It's just something was off on it. But when we get back to the game itself, I mean, it was great. I mean, I like the music. The music sounded like it came, you know, based off of the cartoon. They had great animation for, you know, the graphics, how it looked. And I like that, you know, when it came to the Riddler level, I thought they were going to be giving me new riddles, but they used the same. So as long as you watch that episode that we just. Yeah.
I like I said, we're talking, I think I was in elementary school when I played that game, so.
Okay, yeah. So you might have been just, going off an old memory.
I didn't
memory.
Have the Riddler VHS tape. I wouldn't get that till a few more years later to where I could actually go back and watch that. So no, I'm that's cool they did that though, that they just
it was it definitely shows they were at least following the cartoon with the feel of that game and moments and stuff, because like the last one when it had to be, you know, the human brain or whatever,
yeah,
I was waiting for the options. I was like, okay, they're probably gonna put up a human brain, a centipede, or this or that or whatever, and it just had initials. I was like, what the fuck? And I'm looking at all the certain letters and I was like, you can only put in one letter with a period and then another letter with a period. I was like, okay, do I have to put H period, B period for human brain? And sure enough, that's what they made you do. So you wouldn't have to, you know, click all the letters to make human brain. But it was a great game. And it led me to thinking about the Batman and Robin games that were on Sega CD, Sega Genesis, and Super Nintendo. I always hate sometimes when there's like, whether it's a group of fans that only love this system or another, or even reviewers where they're like, okay, let's compare and see which, you know, version was better. Now, I can understand when it comes to game like Mortal Kombat on Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, Pit Fighter, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Street Fighter, you know, it's the same game, but it's on the different systems. And you are going to compare like, okay, which one of these has better graphics? Which one sounds better? Which one controls better? These games are all three different. So I don't even put them as a comparison of which one looked better. They're different games. And you know what? They're great for each game they are. Because the one that's for Sega Genesis, if you're fans of like Contra, you know, some side-scrolling, you know, shooters and everything as well, it almost felt like a Contra game, meaning You know, you could power up your batarangs, have different weapons, but it's a side-scroller. But you're just blasting out hell out of enemies that keep coming and coming as you're side-scrolling and shooting, and it's hard as hell. In fact, the reviewers back in the old days, a lot of those people said, man, you can't beat Batman and Robin on Genesis without a Game Genie. And of course, like I said, I did without a Game Genie. I'm sure there's millions of other people that did, you know, did as well. No, really. And I'm sure there's millions of other people did as well. But that was one hard-hitting, action-packed game right through. Now you come to the Super Nintendo one. It wasn't like that, but it had, you know, like I said, different gadgets for different specific levels. Made you do some thinking. Had little cut parts where you interacted with the enemies towards, like, the end before you fought them. That was a great game. And then for me, the other gem is the one for Sega CD. Have either of you played it? Because I'm sure definitely Tyler would be super interested in maybe something, I have to say, but did either of you play that one?
No, I didn't get to play that one. It was Sega CD, like my friend Josh had it, and he had just the Sewer Shark and Jurassic Park. And yeah. I think he had one other title for it, but no Batman and Robin.
Okay, what about you, Tyler?
I didn't have a Sega CD or know anybody that had it. I had to just walk by the shelves in the video store and just like wonder what it would be like to play Sega CD, and because they would have certain games on there that were only available on that. So no.
Okay. Because I want to grab this. Now, this is the game, and the sad thing is the Sega CD, since, yes, it was some, you know, you either had your Super Nintendo fans or your Sega fans. So a lot of Nintendo fans would not buy this, and hell, even a lot of Sega fans would not get this because the Sega CD was just maybe a system that didn't seem like it had a lot of good games, but there's hidden gems, and this is one of them, because this one is, it's a complete driving one where you have the Batmobile and Batwing, but the coolest damn thing about this, which I love, and I think that's why I liked it so much as a kid, is when you played this before and between levels, it had actual cut cartoon animations from, I'm sorry, not from the cartoon Batman animated series, but the people who did that cartoon did complete unique cartoon cutscenes for this with voice and everything. And it's fluid. But the only thing is, because of the limits of the system back in the day, the cutscenes are slight grainy. But Tyler, I mean, I know you'd really be interested, but it's so many unique things from the Riddler, the Joker, Clayface. There's all new cartoons in this game. It's like, damn, that was so cool.
It's almost like an entire new episode.
It is, and it felt like it, because if you were to piece them together, you could probably get a cartoon, which I always thought, this is why I was going to ask, I didn't know if you knew about that, Tyler, about these unique cutscenes and cartoons in this.
No, you know, I didn't know anybody who had Sega CD, let alone anybody who played it, so.
Yeah, because I would wonder, do you think, the thing that I think would be cool as hell, is if they ever somehow were able, like, you know, like, when they start releasing, you know, Blu-ray versions of the animated series, I wonder if they could contact and somehow get the episodes or the scenes that they drew for this and put it into the cartoon and have a new episode and have it be cleaner. Because I recommend you both, if, you know, after we're done or later, check this out on, you know, YouTube.
That footage has got to be on YouTube to view.
It is. And it's damn awesome. And I'm not kidding. It's all their voices. It's the same animation, but it's new stuff. Like, there's a scene where Batman, I love this part. I like the part where I was getting ready to fight Poison Ivy. Because on her level, and after you do something, she like throws this weird kind of like plant spawn that grows and becomes this big insane creature. And Batman starts fighting it, and he starts chopping it, and it's like he's chopping it. You almost feel like he's murdering something. Not to say, oh, I'm endorsing murder, but it was brutal, even for a plant creature. But it was not just a simple-minded plant creature like you see, like a, I don't know, Little Shop of Horrors. I mean, it became like a thing, and he's chopping it to pieces. You hear sound effects and juice and limbs flying. It was pretty damn nuts for this. So, yeah, definitely check it out. I thought that was cool as hell on the Sega CD, that thing.
I'm kind of curious how much that game goes for on eBay.
You know what? I bet you it's dirt-ass cheap, because it's just people don't think about this. They think, oh, it's Sega CD, it's nothing, or, oh, that system wasn't that great. But when they start finding out there was these cool little gems, especially for people who love seeing as many cartoon, you know, episodes as possible, knowing there's hidden animation, you know, with actual stuff, it intrigues people. But I think it would probably be cheap.
Oh, well, let's give it a little look-see.
Oh, you got to check?
Probably go to the flea market and buy it from his usual seller in Dublin.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be covered in dirt, and the discs are going to have disc rot on them if they're not, like, cracked already.
No, I bet you. No, I'm still thinking that if you go there, I don't think it's going to be expensive at all. There are some games.
About $50.
Okay, so let's go and retail what it was back then, because there are some games on every system, as you know, that go 200, 300, 400. Some games go pretty nuts with their prices, yeah. But no, it's just, I'm glad you guys recommended that, because I had such a blast playing to see that it was completely different too, a whole different feel. So you could pick up any one of those games and enjoy it, but not really compare them like they're the same thing. They're just different games for different styles.
Yeah, maybe I'll get around to that Super Nintendo version today. Because I have the cart. I need to go upstairs and pop it in and play it.
What was the level that drove you nuts, Tyler? Because was it the driving level too, or was there another one?
No, it was Riddler's level. That's the only level I couldn't beat. I had no problems beating the other levels. Like, not in a sense where I could do it on the first try, but, you know, the Riddler's maze was the only thing I had. Because it took a little while to figure out that parts of the walls you could blow up.
We use those goggles to make everything like infrared. Yeah.
Yeah. It's where you can see, okay, there's a lining here that you can throw a grenade at and it blows that part of the wall out. So that was the part that held me back was that. But no, everything else, I mean, it was a fun but difficult game. Not the point where I pull a Nathan and throw the controller down and start beating up the person next to me. You know, which Nathan has done.
Did I ever tell the story about the time I threw a controller at Josh's head?
No, I don't think I heard that.
All right. We were playing, I want to say it was like NFL Game Day on PlayStation. I'm pretty sure it was either that or like a Quarterback Club on N64. And I can't remember if he was like beating me at the time. It was like the first half of the game. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. But I got really pissed at him, and I took the controller, and I threw it, and it just, like, smacked him right in the back of the head. And I, like, stormed out of the room, and he was just sitting there like, man, okay. And then I came back in the room, and then I won the game. And I was like, I was a dick. I was a dick.
After you almost made him have a concussion or something or knock him out with that damn controller, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, the because you know how the PlayStation controllers are. I'm pretty sure just that rounded corner on one of the sides hit him right in the back of the head.
Oh, Jesus. No, that's nuts. Yeah, the games can get people pissed off to where they do stuff they shouldn't do, but it happens. But, no, Chris Simpson said he threw his controller at a Sega CD and broke it. I hope he's just lying and that didn't happen. But, no, so, again, yeah, just wanted to ramble that real quick. I had a blast with the game, and I want to thank you. Whoa, the last thing. I never seen the Hand of Fate. Tyler, was that in the game? Because when I was in the maze, I never seen...
No, I don't recall that ever being in the game, no.
Okay, because I kept worrying that when I hit a dead end, it was going to come out and take me back, but never happened.
Nothing like that, pretty much just doing the riddles, blowing up walls, and dealing with the Riddler on the walls and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, that was one thing they didn't incorporate.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Then I didn't miss nothing. But, okay, well, beyond...
Because most people would say, oh, I got to play that when I get off talking to you, like knowing full well, they're not going to do that.
I think you might have heard it in my voice, just like when I was getting giddy when we did the first, you know, capes and commentaries when we talked about Batman. When I hear something and there's something that gets me giddy, I think you can genuinely hear it in my voice. It's going to happen. So right when we were done, I was like, yeah, I'm going to play that game. And I played it and then I beat it. And I was like, damn, great game.
Yeah, because Joe messaged me like as soon as we were done. He was like, what's the title of it again? What? It's on Super Nintendo, right? I'm like, yep. And then he's like, okay. And I was like, well, there he goes.
Exactly.
He seems really excited about it.
He messaged me, so that's why I was always like, he ain't going to do it. He's just going to, you know, go outside and talk to the kids with his mask still on. Wonder why they look at him funny.
I played. It was great. But, well, now we're going to discuss a movie. This is a movie that, at least from my experience, I've come across people. I only usually meet two kinds. One that absolutely love it and get the sick humor and all the little subtle things that happen. And then there's people like my sister who hates this movie and every kind of movie that's like this. And it's The Naked Gun. I mean, The Naked Gun is just, my God, for me, I love the sick humor of it. I love these kind of movies. My sister, she hates every kind of movie like this. If Leslie Nielsen was in any kind of movie at all, she wouldn't want to see. She just hates him. But I usually have people that just, some people, I don't know, do you have people that are in between? I've never met it in myself, in personal life. I've never met an in-between person. It's either love it or just completely hate it.
Very few people I've come across that don't like that movie. I mean, I can't name five people in my life that I've met that didn't like that series of films. Because for the most part, when if it comes up, it's nothing but a high praise. I mean, my entire family, they all love it. My brother likes to send me quotes about me, and my dad will quote it together. My mom loves those films. I mean, I don't know of anybody, or very, very few people, that didn't like those films.
What about you, Nate?
It was the same thing. Like, it's never been a case, too. It's never really come up in conversation with a lot of people I have. Like, Tyler and I bonded a lot over basketball, which was, you know, kind of from the same crew, essentially. But no, and it's funny with that kind of humor, how people will like certain things and dislike certain things. Like, for me, I like this kind of humor. And when I think about, you know, other parody films, you know, like Hot Fuzz. I don't know where that came from. It's like my voice didn't want to go. like Hot Fuzz, Black Dynamite, stuff like that are funny to me, but I don't like Seinfeld and Frasier. That humor just, I think it sucks. I think it's just terrible. Tyler likes both of those shows.
And then, I like Black Dynamite and I like Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, but
I hate the Will Ferrell movies. I don't like Chris Pratt.
Yeah, that's the thing. He doesn't like the Will Ferrell stuff, which whatever. But other people like that stuff, and so it's just kind of funny the range of humor. It's like, this is okay, but they don't like that, but they like that, but this person doesn't like that, and it's strange. And I didn't want to bring it up too much, but I know that Tyler watched about half hour Thor Ragnarok and he turned it off because he didn't like it because it was too funny. And we won't get too much into that, but I know because we were having a conversation with one of his other friends yesterday and he loved the humor in it because it broke a lot of the tension, which Tyler wasn't wanting it to do. So humor is funny because sometimes it works for a lot of people and other times it doesn't. Like, some people could like the Naked Gun films and then watch Not Another Teen Movie and love that just the same. When I would watch it, and
I would argue the guys those two jerk offs who did like Meet the Spartans, Disaster Movie, Date Movie, all those other they were churning them as like they couldn't take shits fast enough. You know, they just kept churning them out on the conveyor belt. You know, those movies are trying so hard. Oh, look, it's Napoleon Dynamite talking to the Leonidas spoof from 300. I mean, they weren't trying. They were just referencing movies and saying, you know, fart and dick jokes. Because, oh, look, it's Napoleon Dynamite. Oh, look, it's Chris Evans, you know, spoofing, you know, the jock character. Whereas these movies, they don't like to beat you over the head and remind you that, hey, we're being dirty and raunchy here. It's so much that, you know, they're saying stuff left and right, and unless the camera focuses in or you happen to catch one of the actors making a face like, am I hearing this right? While Leslie and, you know, Priscilla are continuing saying, you know, as if like nothing's wrong, you got George Kennedy kind of like, wait, what?
No, that's you it.
Know? But that's it. They're not taking time to beat you over the head with, you got served, trying to do it like a, you know, a Leonidas impression with a really bad actor. And,
well, that's the thing, I mean, that you're talking about.
And the scary movie films, too, where all they were doing is referencing stuff that was on, like, the Budweiser commercial. God, I swear to God, I was ready to strangle the Dudley Boys because they kept referencing that in wrestling. Like, will people stop doing the whole was up? I hated scary movies, and I know that the same guys that do Naked Gun took over those films much later on, and I still refuse to see them, but though the scary movie films, the not another bullshit movie series of films, and all those other things, they never got it. You know, I felt like the Naked Gun films and Mel Brooks' stuff was that's how parody should be done.
Yeah. At least with Naked Gun, you're right. Naked Gun wasn't really trying to spoof other movies. It was just doing these subtle little things, whether it was a little joke with something they said so quick you're like, wait, what did he say? Like, you didn't really catch it, and then next time you caught it, you know, you're like, oh damn it, it's hilarious. Or parts where they're walking through the door, two goes through the door and the other goes around the actual, you know, paneling of the setting, you know, just silly stuff like that. But no, that's the thing, their sick kind of humor, it didn't even catch on, because originally when it was like, you know, Police Squad, when that was on, you know, TV, people didn't get the humor when, you know, Leslie Nielsen was at, and they were doing the same thing, Naked Gun, but it was the TV series.
I didn't think the show was as good as the movies, though.
Well, no. The show, like I said, it was good, but yeah, I know the movie was able to go through so many more levels, especially the stuff they could get away with in a movie compared to TV. But when the TV show was on, people just kind of didn't get it. Like, I don't understand this goofy humor. What's supposed to be funny about this? And it kind of went away. Then here comes the Naked Gun movies. They caught on like fire. And then suddenly they wanted to bring Police Squad, the old episodes. They reran it in syndication on TV so people could catch up. Like, oh, that's what it was? And it got like a better appreciation for it. But it took that movie to bring the series back to, you know, have people watch it.
I kind of missed, too, because I was looking at the release dates for these, and, you know, if these were to come out now, they would start coming out, like, every year, but they actually I loved it when franchises back then would just actually space it out and leave you wanting more, like, at least wait 3-4 years before the next installment, not, well, we're already in production with the other one, this one just got released.
Bam, you're right, just to keep hitting you over and over. No, the Naked Gun, like I said, it's a type of comedy that I don't see much anymore. You know, like when Tyler was saying all these other movies that I think they're trying too hard. That's the thing. It seems like they're trying so much to force these jokes onto you that it just doesn't seem funny. That when the movies like Naked Gun, they were just so damn subtle. That's what even made them funnier. It wasn't like shoving half of the jokes down your face. There's moments that are shoved in your face that are hilarious. But some of the jokes just work because they're so damn quick. You know, whether it's somebody introducing somebody, you know, say, you know, like before he even says hello, he's like, yeah, you know, nice to meet you. He's like, or the pleasure's all mine. And the guy's like, he didn't even introduce himself or some silly things like that. And when somebody's like, cigarette, he's like, yes, it is. You know, and they keep going on. Whatever it is, those subtle things just work. And you don't see that in like comedy now. I don't even know if people would appreciate it now. Isn't that weird? I wonder if those kind of movies were made nowadays, if people would even get into it, or do they think it would just go right over their head? I don't know.
Are we saying if it's still using that same
formula kind
of humor? Like if it doesn't, I think it would work for a certain demographic, I guess. I guess it depends on how they played it out too. You know, like, I don't know. I would hope that it would.
I mean, do you think people just wouldn't get it? Like, you know, maybe just people growing up these days just don't get that kind of humor I don't know. It's not funny to them, or is it just really just go right over their head? I mean, I don't know.
What do you think, Tyler?
I really felt like it's not a product of its time, but I feel like people today, I mean, look at the shitty comedies that come out today. I mean, we got one out now with John Cena, you know, chugging beer in his asshole and then shits it out. You know, I'm sorry, that's not funny. I wouldn't have found that funny as a kid. You know, it's just trying too hard to be gross and raunchy. And then you've got Melissa McCarthy farting and, you know, falling over stuff. You know, she's lost weight now, so she's not doing a whole lot of the fat stuff. But, you know, where the humor is just really cheap. You know, the Naked Gun movies, you know, it's even at times you feel like they did not overstep the border of getting too ridiculous, where you felt like, okay, this is too much. I mean, like in the first one, when Leslie Nielsen's crawling outside, you know, Ludwig's office and grabs a hold of the woman's breast, who's got it exposed at night, and grabs a hold of the concrete, you know, dick. That could so easily get too much, but because of Leslie, the way he's selling it, the way it's shot,
it's perfect. You know,
and it's not dwelling that he's putting his mouth up to it for very long.
I'm kind of surprised that they got away with that, honestly. I really am, because I'm sitting there watching it and just pulling himself up, and she looks out the window and he's like, oh, I'm like, wow, it's kind of amazing that that didn't get cut. Like, even if it is just made out of concrete, you know, that just the innuendo that's there for that.
No, it is. It's great. The whole lead up when he first got onto that ledge, you knew shit was going to happen when he was standing out there and you seen all these naked statues and he's going to the one and you see the one with the woman's breast and he's grabbing, you know, he's feeling to move around them, using them as leverage. And then when he's coming around the corner, he can't see. He just grabs and there's a woman looking out the window. She's in her bra and he grabs the one, the other, and they make the horn honking sound and she's screaming. And then he falls, and as he's falling, he grabs onto another thing that happens to be the penis of a male statue. And as he's pulling himself up, he's like, you know, like, eyes, like groaning, but it looks like he's gonna put it in his mouth, and she looks out the window, screams again. He finally gets up, and then as he gets up, he turns the penis this way, and then he's holding on to it, and he's like shaking back and forth, the statue smiling, and then it finishes off where he busts through the window to get in, and he's walking at her, looking all dazed and insane with a dildo.
Just the way he's holding it, he's making it. It comes off very naturally. He's trying to assault her with the concrete, and she just freaks out. And then he realizes what the hell he's doing.
And what did the police chief? What did the woman? Yeah, the woman say about the whole event? That's what I loved hearing.
Yeah, what the way she's talking about. My brother sent me a rant. I told Joe. I said my brother sent me a random text while I was at the gym, and all it said was "sexual assault with a concrete dildo," and I just started laughing in the gym. Because just to hear the mayor talk about what the hell went on, and I picked up on this after I watched the Dirty Harry films. I felt like, you know, Abrams and Zucker really liked Clint Eastwood films because they referenced Dirty Harry in this, Escape from Alcatraz and Naked Gun 3. You know, I just kind of felt like they're small moments that they like to kind of spoof a lot of the Clint Eastwood films, you know. And that sequence where she's saying, you know, I don't want to see you having trouble on the South Side. I mean, that scene's taken right out of the first Dirty Harry, you know, when he says, well, I see, you know, five guys in togas stabbing a guy in the park. I shoot the bastard. That's my policy. You know, and I'm like, if you see Dirty Harry, they're having the exact same conversation, you know, about shooting an attempted rapist. And she's like, the way the mayor sells it, that was, you know, in the part production of Julius Caesar, you moron. You know, you can almost see the tension and the look on his face. Like, it's a year later, he's just now finding out that they were actors. Just moments like that, when you start breaking it down, makes it even more funnier because they're not telling you. You figure it out for yourself. You know, it's not like that pretentious smart humor, like some sort of indie flick where everyone's got, you know, ugly and stuff.
Everything they did, it all works.
I love Tyler's crusade against hipsters and Starbucks and independent films. I love it. I love how he just, it's all lumped together, and he's like, man, fuck all of that. Pretentious douchebags.
Because
this movie, it's like I said, it's the perfect blend of comedy. And we will talk about many great perfect comedies, like Dumb and Dumber, because that's another movie that could have easily gone too far. And I think the sequel speaks for itself that's what happened. The Burbs, Ghostbusters, and stuff like that. Movies with, it's perfection. And these guys, and Nathan touched on this before, you know, what made
these... Yeah, going in and out there a little bit, Tyler. What were you saying?
The gap we're saying about the fact that they waited multiple years in between before they released the sequels, you know, that they did not do it once a year, guys, a lot of time. And it shows they cared, because doing two sequels to a successful comedy, it's really hard to make them just as funny as the first one. I swear all three films are just as good. Like, I mean, you may have one that you like the best, but in terms of quality and how much you laugh and how much you can quote, all three films are on the same level, fine in quality in any of the films. And that's a very rare thing with comedies. You may have a good sequel like Wayne's World 2, Adam's Family Values, but to have a trilogy of films, of comedies that are still that good, it's almost impossible. And these guys did it.
Yeah, and sometimes you definitely got to have... You got to have the right set of actors, and at least somebody that can definitely always deliver. And Leslie Nielsen can always deliver when he does those movies. He has the perfect mannerisms, the looks, the way he delivers his lines. But, you know, like getting back to this movie, like even parts where, you know, Priscilla Presley, when he first meets her for the first time, you see her standing at the top of the stairs and she's looking all beautiful and everything. She's slowly, sexually walking down the first two steps, and then boom, 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 boom. She falls, and then she stands up and tries to get right back, you know, into character and being sexy. It's like these moments. And the other one, I heard just, I mean, there's so many damn parts in that movie that had me crack up. Like, I like when he was coming home. And he sees the doors ajar, and he figures, you know, okay, somebody broke in. And he starts going into all these, like, martial arts flips and jumps and everything. It's like, you knew it wasn't him, but that's what even makes it funnier. It's just the thought of him doing these acrobatics to then finally get to see, and then it's her. But that part, and then, like Chris Simpson said, that safe sex part, oh, God, yeah. You knew something was coming in there.
I was a kid. Like, to see them in full life size, I didn't know what a condom was when I was a kid. And I was like, What I mean, because all I knew was you got naked and kissed when I was a kid. That's all what I thought was. And to see them, like, what the hell are they doing in, like, these things? And then you look over at the big rappers, like, I still don't get what's going on. But all I know is, like, I'm avoiding getting in trouble watching a nude scene here or some sort of sex scene, something that wouldn't get me in trouble.
Exactly. I mean, it's okay. I went with my parents. I feel like I may have already told this story on the podcast before, but I went with my parents to see Look Who's Talking. And anyone that's listening, if you've seen that, you're familiar with that first 5 minutes. It's just like you're seeing the sperm like traveling and everything. And we're sitting there in the movie theater and I look up and like I'm just like, oh, look, tadpoles. And everyone around my parents just were busting out laughing. I didn't get it. I'm just like, what's so funny?
Yeah, I didn't get that either when I watched those movies. And I watched the first and second one a lot because my babysitter recorded them. And I didn't get what I just like, okay, this is how babies are made. But I didn't get
what
happened for all that to go on. So that's, you know, and obviously, you know, never bothered my parents or anything like that. But I didn't watch those movies around with my parents a whole lot. But the Naked Gun films were films my parents never – I will say this. When I saw the third – I did get to see the third one in the theaters. And I went with a group that at a birthday party, that was one of the things Nathan, you probably remember Josh Rapp.
Yep.
Yeah. For his birthday party, we were going to go to the mall, play at the arcade, and then go see Naked Gun 3. And the sequence for Anna Nicole Smith reveals she's got a dick. You know, I immediately thought, oh my God, my dad's going to freak out when he sees this and he's going to yell at me that I can't watch this. And when we saw it, and I'm sitting there like nervously because my dad loved all the films and he never said a word, but I would always get so nervous thinking my dad was somehow going like, I can't do that. How dare they put that in this thing?
Wait, so he was there watching it with you and your friends?
No. When we rented
it. Oh, when you ended up renting it later on. I was thinking that you went to, like, he went with you guys to the movie, and you're just sitting there, and it happens, and he's like, that's it, and he just, like, yanks you out of the chair, and you guys leave or something.
No, I was worried about it on home video, because Josh Rapp's mom, she loved to laugh, and she was laughing as much as we were. Especially when that dick just boom pops out, you know, it was just one of those moments where you just worry about what your parents are going to say. But nothing was said. But I mean, that
thing he made where he looked like he was going to puke too when he's seen it.
Yeah, it's like that's Phil Donahue throwing up in a tuba. You know, it's almost hard not to touch on all the sequels when we're talking about this one because God, there's so many great jokes. When's the last time you saw the sequels, Nathan?
It's been about as long as when I saw the first one. Probably when I was like 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that age range. They used to come on TV all the time, and I would catch them. But I have the sequels, so I will go back and watch them both.
No, because I've seen them all. I usually see them all, like, within a year. I usually see them a couple times. But, like, you know, like another part, before I get to something about, I'm going to say something about TV in a second, but I like that, like I said, there's a lot of moments, but that part when, again, they're at the house and they're having, the dinner and everything, and she said, how's your meat? He said, oh, I'll let you be the judge of that. Whatever he puts, and she, you know, like, takes the meat out of his hand and, like, sucks on his finger. He says,
I got nine more.
She makes that look, because you know what she's insinuating in this moron. Say I got nine more. But no, the TV stuff. This is when it freaked me out, you know, as a kid. Was I remember renting them, you know, watching them, and then sometimes they would be on, you know, cable or whatever, but then sometimes they'd be on a different channel, and when they're on TV on some channels, they had this other footage, and I was like, hey, what the hell is that? You know, because I was like, I never seen that when I rented that movie. What is this part? Like, there was more parts where I was telling Tyler, like, when they're on the docks, when, like, you know, why should I tell you? And he's giving money and a 20 back and forth. Can you loan me a 20? Spot me a 20? Like, that scene went on longer. There was a longer part when he came into the hospital before he, you know, like, you know, saved Nordberg. There's parts at the baseball stadium. There was, like, so much extra. Even in Ludwig's office, when he's destroying and it's burning down.
Yeah.
There was more in that. And I was like, damn, why couldn't they put all this into one big thing? But it's like Tyler said, for TV, they had to fill parts with other parts, spacing, timing, extension. I was like, I wish they would put all that into one big movie so we could see all them pieces, because a lot of people, if they didn't see it on TV, wouldn't even know those things existed, these other scenes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that they would have stuff cut and put stuff in. And It's so strange. Like, who makes that call? Is it the station itself? You know, do they have to communicate with the distributor and be like, hey, this is what we're going to do to this. Okay, that's fine. No, you can't do that. It's kind of interesting how some stuff stays intact and then other things are just cut out entirely.
And I don't know why is and I used to wonder, but like when they released Jaws on DVD officially, and I remember ABC had played like it was like a special, but the special version was incorporating all the deleted scenes in Jaws into the actual film, so it was a seamless movie with all these new scenes that I'd never seen before. And so I thought on DVD they would release that version along with the original version, but they didn't. On the deleted scenes are. And like with most releases, there is a special feature. But I'm like, well, why don't you guys put together this version that was intended? Or you obviously shot it for a reason. Why not give us two versions of the film? I mean, Jaws 2 on TV had all these deleted footage of the helicopter pipe being attacked under the water. All this other stuff with Chief Brody. You saw it in the TV version. It's not on Blu-ray. It's not on DVD. And it wasn't on VHS. Just one of many examples. Like, why can't we get versions of all this stuff instead of having to watch the deleted scenes as a special feature? It'd be kind of nice to see all this stuff incorporated.
I know you're right. I don't like it. I know that you're right. A lot of the DVDs, Blu-rays, they'll give you the deleted scenes, but I'm like, I wish they could incorporate it into the film, though. It makes it a better, more cohesive film. No, like I said, you're right. No, I always hated that they would do it like that and wouldn't add it into it because, like, thinking about the Goonies, that's the one that came into my mind. I remember on TV.
Why does he cracked him up?
Yeah, because it just felt like all Joe was doing was just, you know, pulling a Bozo and all, I mean, just repeating. I was like, Joe,
The thing is, as you were saying it, those are things I was wanting to say. I guess it was still just in my head, but it leads to the Goonies, is because I remember when I watched the Goonies on TV, I remember always seeing the scene with the octopus. And
yes,
of course,
man.
And that wasn't on DVD. It wasn't even on the VHS. And I remember telling some of my friends on that. I was like, yeah, that was kind of crazy with the octopus. They're like, what are you talking about? What octopus? I was like, the octopus. I was like, it was on TV. And they're like, I didn't see that. I had the tape. I was like, well, I don't know. I was watching on TV. I don't know if it was TBS, what the station was at the day. But I remember saying that people always thought it was insane until they finally seen it in deleted scenes like you were talking about. Then they could finally see it. And then I was like, well, hey, did you ever think about it? You remember if you watched the Goonies at the end when they were like, you know, like, what was some of your, what did you go through? Your most exciting parts. And Data said something about like, oh, when we fought the octopus. And I remember so many people were lost, like, what octopus? We didn't see you fight an octopus until they seen this other version. And I always wanted that for the Goonies. I wanted the whole damn thing, and I don't think they still have done it. I think that's still just
they did it
bonus.
On the Disney Channel. I remember when my babysitter recorded the Goonies on the Disney Channel, and the convenience store scene, the extra scenes with Chunk and Sloth, all that was, and that blew me and my brother's mind. Like, not to mention they dubbed over all the cussing, which sounded awful.
It was
a bittersweet viewing where you got all this extra footage. But all the cussing's dubbed and it sounds really bad, but it probably makes sense the octopus scene was deleted. Like that's where I kind of felt like as cool as it was to see, and I loved watching it as an adult, I'm like, it's probably best they cut that, you know, that putting in Data's tape player that's playing music inside the octopus and it dances away.
Yeah. It looks silly, but I
think a little bit nuts.
I think the other reason it stuck with me more was beyond seeing that on TV was I had the board game, The Goonies, and on the cover of that art is the scene with that octopus all on it. So it has beautiful box art. So they even acknowledge it. But yeah, so those other ones. But damn it, back to this Naked Gun. I mean, just more, some of the more classic scenes. And like you said, things to where how Leslie can sell it. Like he's completely oblivious to almost everything that's going on is the part where I think he's going back to the station. I forgot what he hits, his car hits, and then the airbag, you know,
yes.
comes out.
Yeah, that is my second favorite scene in the movie. Yeah.
So he gets out of the car, then the airbag keeps going. It puts the car in drive, and then as he's walking, he looks and he thinks somebody's trying to run him down. He's shooting bullets at him. Anybody get the way? He said, like, did anybody see the driver? It's fucking stupid. Go ahead, Nathan.
Oh, I like the part where he like shoots at it two or three times and then just like catches on fire and it's still going.
driving down the street. And how he looks when he's like, you know, like, oh, I'll have to get inside or whatever he said. And he's looking with this like suspicious look, like, what and who could that have been? And it's his damn car. It's like that kind of oblivious stuff. That way he plays it off just makes it classic. There's so many. I mean, the part with Norberg, that's when he goes in to see Norberg. And of course, Norberg, you know, is going to get killed by the doctor. And he's like, you know, home, police, or whatever he says, drop that pillow. Or I don't know what he said, but then he threw the pillow at Leslie. And then Leslie's fighting, like, the pillow's attacking him. I can't remember how many times I would rewind that as a kid. It was so damn stupid, but so funny. Like, the pillow has a life of its own, and he can't get it off his face.
One of the other things that I thought was really funny is when they're at the baseball game and the commentary team's there and you're thinking it's just the two-man booth and then it keeps going on and on and on. It's like, oh, there's Dick Vitale. And then there's the what's-her-face.
Joey Brothers?
Brothers.
Yeah. And I'm just like, man. And then I love it when they're showing that video hype package of like all these great plays and then all of a sudden a dude just gets hit by a car. And then there's the one where he's going to catch and his head just like gets cut off and the one guy's just sitting there like, yeah.
How about
exactly. One guy's looking shocked, the other's like excited about it. It gets mauled by a tiger. And I think that was even like there was other cut scenes, like they showed some people sitting there having picnics. That was like on the TV version, but when you watch it in the movie, you don't see anybody having a picnic on the field. But yeah, they added so many different things to that package. I mean, the whole, oh man, the other thing that always killed me was the Enrico Palazzo, that whole thing, when he went out there to sing that national anthem and just butchered it. Me and my family were dying every time he would sing that, take off of the back, but butchering that national anthem. And then when he's, I think it was the umpire, when he called him at the end, he's like, is this in a regulation bat or whatever? And boom, knocks him out.
The sound, like his judo chop to Enrico in the back, and then the sound the bat makes, bump. You know, it's like Looney Tune noise almost.
It is.
And then when that custodian like opens the door and his pants are dropped and his like,
sorry guys,
his pants are dropped. Oh no! I was like, yeah, that was really good. I always thought too.
We're exposed. Oh man! And the look on Leslie's face, you know, and the custodian's perfectly fine with it. So I'm sorry, guys. You guys, you know.
He's like, oops, sorry, guys, and just walks out as he's doing that.
And then, I'll see you guys too about, and it's one of my favorite scenes that includes Norberg is when they go visit him in the hospital the first time, and Norberg's wife's there, and how Frank is just saying the most inappropriate things, and she just screams in agony and talking. And one of my favorite things is like, it could have been a lot of things. Could have been a gang, a blackmailer, an angry husband, a gay lover, and she just screams and cries and. And he just looks at George, and he's just standing there in shock, and just like he's not bothered at all by saying all this stuff. And then when she leans in, they have big wad of snot. Just, it took me years before I actually caught the snot because it's not focused on that much.
I caught it always immediately, and that was the only part in that movie that always grossed me out. I have a problem with seeing stuff like that, seeing actual snot. It grossed me out. Every time I knew that part was coming, I always had to turn and look away and wait for it to be over because it was, for me, I guess, immediately noticeable because I'm starting to look at every freaking detail in the movie. It's so gross. But you're right. It's not something that catches your eye immediately, but once you see it, you can't unsee it then.
Like I did notice as a kid, though, when they're leaving the airport, everything I see reminds me of her. That those farm benders off to the side clearly look like a pair of tits.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Knew, at least as a kid, I knew what they were going for with that. I'm like, man, those things look like boobs. And,
exactly. You know, even when he gets off the plane, he thinks that whole procession there is for him, and he's sitting there giving his whole
story, didn't you? Me and my dad love to quote that scene back and forth. Anytime something goofy or something that's considered serious, we'll just kind of start quoting that scene. You know, you came out here to get the hot story, didn't you? And,
weird
to show up in that film, in the third film, in these small cameos like that. Yeah, it was just fun, man. Just
it sure was. Nathan,
and the villains, you know, Ricardo Montalban playing, Mr. Vincent Ludwig. I just thought he was such a perfect cast, along with Robert Goulet and Fred Ward in the third one. They were such great villains, like the. Obviously Ricardo played Khan, but you almost kind of felt like they picked people that you would almost not see as a villain, but they played like Robert Goulet playing a villain. And he was so good in it, you know, and it was such a great trio of great villains for all those films. And Pap Schmier, You know, I didn't know what that was as a kid either. I thought, okay, this is the guy that hired him. His name's Mr. Papschmier. It wasn't until years later before I understood that game. Let me ask Nathan, because Nathan hadn't seen this movie in so long. Like, the Papschmier stuff, or like him interrogating the dock worker at the pier, you know, in the constant exchange of 20, I can't tell you that. What about this? And did you enjoy that stuff? Or you
Of course. Like, that, the exchanging of the money part, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, it's ingenious. One of the other things that I really liked is when he's like rummaging through the drawers and he's like, bingo, but then he pulls out like a bingo card. It's just little small things like that made me just smile and be like, all right, like, that was really clever. Like, just simple stuff, but just very clever. I enjoyed it. Do what?
They got the red markings on their mouth when they're eating those hot peanuts. And they're just sitting there talking, and then he gets out of the car, and they've been sitting there so long, they've got peanuts covering up.
But I'll tell you about that part, because those are colored, those are red-colored pistachios. Oh, and the reason I say this, my dad, you know, he loves some pistachios. And, you know, you go through them so quick, and you just make a big old pile of shells. So, of course, you're right, he's sitting there, and you see their faces all red. And you knew something was going on, but you didn't know it was going to lead up to that. And then finally he's like, and he opens the car door, and there is just it's like 5 million shells there already. It's those stupid little jokes, but it just makes it funny. It just shows that, hell, they just been there this whole time, and they went through this many, which is too many. But, oh, yeah. Like I said, that movie just had so many things. The part at the, like, I always give Tyler shit, is when Tyler will sit there and he'll start talking, and he's saying something, he's like, God, I forgot where I was going with this. And that's when I always say the part, and where the hell was I? When Leslie's doing his walk, and he's doing the whole thing about he's trying to figure this out. And you see him doing hopscotch across the sidewalk, and you see a city. And then suddenly he's walking, and then you just see grass and nothing, and you see trees, and you hear, like sound effects like he's in a jungle. He's like, and where the hell was I? It's that stuff is just, it's so stupid, but it's funny at the same time.
It is, and it's not dwelled on long. You know, it's okay, let's move on to the next thing. Is if no one really stops to say, what the hell's going on with this world? They all just, they keep going, you know. And I mean, it's that's where I almost feel like I felt like referencing the other films too, but trying to keep it within the realms of the first film. I mean, or just like the it's not really one of those moments where they stop and look, but you know, like when she comes in, tries to tell Frank about what's going on. It's like, what about you and your boyfriend love? It was like, you know, I was never into him. You know, he likes East German men, and they just keep going on, and just constantly like, just we keep going. We don't like, hey, look, my God, he was innocent. Frank, he went to the chair 2 years ago, you know, and then you find out that he's clearing out somebody else's desk because Ed's sitting there like, Frank, not your desk, and they just constant like they, it's just you don't have time to stop. It's just keep going.
Yeah, you know, that's what I feel like most. Comedies fell at now, and I think of like the first thing that comes to my mind is Family Guy. They hang on to it. It's like, isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? I'm just going to keep repeating it over and over until you think that's funny. And I'm like, it's not. I that's what I appreciate about watching Naked Gun and things like basketball, you know, those quick jokes, like in basketball when, you know, she's like, Mr. October is like, you know, no, it's Dwayne Zachmore. And they just keep going. They don't stop on it to
wink at you. Those guys are so confident in their humor that, yeah, like we're saying, they don't stop to make sure the audience is with you. They just keep going. If you didn't catch it, too bad, because then here comes the next joke. Like, it's like being fired at with multiple arrows of humor. And they know they're going to hit you because they don't stop. And the movies today, I mean, and I know Joe likes Family Guy, but even when I did like it, there was entirely too many beats where they focus on Peter falling down. And like, maybe there are some people out there who think it's funny for a minute and a half of Peter grabbing his knee and going,
I got to say something about that. That was the part that was too much, because I know what you mean. There's sometimes, like you said, some jokes they'll try to hold on to make it too funny. That was the one that went real far. I remember, like I said, my dad, if that episode ever comes on, he sees it would just drive nuts. He's like, oh God, is he gonna stop? Because it became annoying to him. It's like, okay, I get it, you heard it, I was like, it went on way too long. Other gags work, like when he has the fight with that damn chicken. It's
that
like,
wasn't funny either.
To me, I loved it. I was like, they spent like 5 minutes of them fighting the chicken, and then it happened again a couple years later. And then one time it happened in reverse when everything was going backwards in time, when time was going backwards. That, for me, worked. But the knee thing, I admit, the knee was a little too much, but I liked, like I said, I liked some things. But, you know,
the gag and Naked Gun that kind of goes prolonged that worked for me is when the guy hits the gas truck and then he's on that and he's like, and then he like runs into a tank and then he's on the tank, you know, like that.
And then the fireworks factory. Yeah. Because it was a big buildup. It was a buildup to something even more insane. So, no, those kind of buildups work perfectly.
What about Nordberg at the beginning? Because as a kid, I didn't understand the humor. I thought, man, how does he survive in a bear trap and burning his hand?
That was perfect. It takes all of those gags that you've seen before and other little things, puts them all together. And it's like, well, he would have died after being shot
it's like, oh, he's concerned about getting his jacket with paint. And then he follows his face into a cake.
And I love the part when they go back and there's just like the chalk line, but it's in the water. It's like, that's good.
It's genius.
Like, hey, you want to take a dinghy? No, I took one of those early. And Ed just like looks at him like, what the hell are you talking about?
Those little things. It's just hell. And Naked Gun that's the first movie that had me sitting through credits. You know, like a lot of movies nowadays where you're sitting after the credits to see maybe an after the credit scene or something. I remember Naked Gun shows silly stuff like names that just of people that really aren't there, make believe stuff, recipes to foods and cakes and saying stupid things. Those are in the credits that they're scrolling. So I remember anytime I'd see one of those Naked Gun movies or something by, you know, the people that made those, I remember I'd sit there and say, oh, they're going to show something nuts. And everybody else is leaving the theater. And it's like, why is he wanting to sit for the credits? So that was my first experience of sitting in credits, was because of the Naked Gun movies.
Did you see all three of them in theaters?
Yes.
Okay.
Man,
lucky. Yeah, well, you know, like I told you, I love going to see almost everything I could of big things that happened back in the day.
But you didn't see Willow.
But I didn't see Willow. Just didn't look interesting to me. But anyway, that I never went to theaters more than once. You know, like I know how you guys went a lot of times. It wasn't until many, many years later where I went to the theater and seen a movie more than once. I've seen it three times, and it was the anticipation and buildup of finally wanting to see this movie and the crowd, how hot this crowd was.
It was the movie, wasn't it?
You got it. But it was, I had to.
Oh, are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. No. So anyways, I had to see this movie because the first time I seen it, the crowd was, I mean, it was hot and fucking insane. Certain parts in that movie, they're screaming, and I was like, I got to see this again with my buddy. And then I went with my cousin because I was like, can it have the same feeling? So that whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it had the same feel every time. I'm not going to say the movie because I already know what I'm going to hear for backlash.
But I know what it is. It's Freddy versus Jason.
Yes, it was. Oh, my God. The fight.
I'm typing that up as if like a surprise.
I loved it. Telling you, people that when we went and seen it, like I said, with the week, because it's the fans that have been rabid for 10 years waiting to see it. And I always remember the part when Freddy got brought into the real world and they hit that music like, dun, dun, and he turned around and looked, and Freddy had that kind of weird, like, frightened look and seeing Jason. The crowd lost its shit. I'm letting you know by my experience of going to movies, of every movies where people are there all the time, that was the hottest and loudest screaming I have ever heard of any movies, from me going to Star Wars movies, any of the Marvel movies. They were nuts out of their mind. Of course, they did go nuts when the Hulk beat the living piss out of Loki when he slammed him like a rag doll. They went nuts there too, but that shit with Jason and Freddy, because it's the buildup, it's what we've been wanting to see in 10 years in the making. When it happened, they lost it, and I loved it. I fed off of that. I just fed off it. I loved being in the theaters for that.
And it was disappointing.
I loved it. I won't get bad on the show. I was ready to say something to both of you guys, but I'm not.
Go
right ahead. Go for it.
Please.
No, I'm not cursing or saying nothing.
Come on, Joe. Do it.
We've all been dropping choice words here.
It was quite a good movie, and I enjoyed it three times. So, yeah, that's the end of that. So, but go ahead. You go back to the Naked Gun before we wrap it up.
Well, before we get back into that, there was a little side rant thing that I did kind of want to discuss. And since you brought up your movie theater experience, I wanted to go ahead and throw it out there because Tyler and I, when we got to talking about Thor Ragnarok and he shut it off and everything, and he was worried about the new Avengers movie coming out. And I was like, you know, I'll probably just rent it, because we used to go to the movies all the time. Tyler and I were there probably almost every weekend for a few years when we got out of high school, and even a little bit before then. And now I go to the movies once, maybe twice a year. And I just kind of want to get the opinion from you guys, because for me, I kind of feel like movie theaters need to die. And here's why. One, the prices, and two, paying those prices. And I always seem lately to just always have a bad experience now. It's always the case of people being too loud, people being on their phones all the time, people bringing their kids to like a movie that they probably shouldn't be at, and then let them run around. And the etiquette is dead. And I feel like we're in an age of technology now that I would pay the premium price of $25, $30 if I could rent this movie and stream it at home. So I know that going to the movies is supposed to be this experience, and you know, I've had plenty of great experiences, but now it just seems like every time there's always something. I don't know if I'm being too picky about it, but it just seems like people don't care. They can't sit and be quiet for an hour and a half to 2 hours or a little more at a time. How do you feel about that?
I quite enjoy going. I know that nighttime, it seems like that's when it gets a little more insane if you go to see a movie at night. And there's crowds. If there's a movie premiere and it's really hyped up, it could be during the day all the way through the night, where it could be sold out each time. I usually like trying to go to some of the earlier shows. But I do love the experience, meaning I also go before, more along the lines of what I always tell you. And this isn't joking, but is the cheap admission. If I can go to this one theater and it shows the movies as they come out, brand new ones, it's not like the ones that are older ones being shown later, it's $5. That's the price of admission before 5 o'clock for any movie at any time. So I get a hell of a deal. And there's like these chairs that, believe it or not, they have these reclining chairs. You hit a button, it reclines back. It actually has tons of room where people aren't walking in front of you and bumping you. It's a cool ass theater, and it's $5 where I go to this movie. And just feeling the bumping and thunder of the sound effects in some movies, like I said, I mean, you know, bringing up, yes, Freddy versus Jason, but even Marvel movies and others, it's like I can feed off of kind of the excitement. Like sometimes, you're right, things get overboard where people won't shut up, or there might be the babies crying, which hopefully, it usually doesn't happen every time, but you know, sometimes it feels like, damn, every time I go, there's a lot of noise. It's not like that all the time. But I like that feeding off of energy when people are excited. Hell, like even a comedy, you know, going back to the days of talking about like the Naked Gun movies, there was something infectious about when you're sitting in the theater and you laugh and then other people are starting to laugh and you guys are just giggling your asses off. When you hear the whole theater going nuts, it's like you keep laughing. You know, it's like you're actually feeding off of the energy of people, compared to sometimes you might go and let's say there's only 20 people in the theater and you hear a little laugh and it's like not a lot of laughter. It kind of makes it feel stale, but I do like the experience. You're right. If there wasn't as much nonsense noise and people with cell phones and trying to take pictures or breaking etiquette, which they shouldn't, yeah, it would be even better. But you have your hit and misses, Nathan. At least that's how I feel. Sometimes I go and yes, you get the unfortunate stupid experience, but sometimes it's good. And if it can always be like that, which it can't, but if it was like that most of the time, I enjoy that. I enjoy that $5 experience of going to the theater.
Tyler, I know you've had quite a few bad experiences in recent years.
Yeah, to the point where it's really gotten very, it's not just with kids. I mean, full grown adults. I've had to snap at kids, college girls, fully grown adults. And they all look at you like you're an asshole because you're asking them to be quiet. And it's like, okay, I get it. You're embarrassed and you're mad for being called out for doing something you shouldn't have been done. So therefore, I'm the bad guy because I'm asking you to please be quiet. And Nathan was with me when I did get snippy with somebody because the guy wanted to fight back about it. And
did you kick his ass?
No, but I had a somewhat witty remark or rebuttal. And the guy shut up. you know, it's one of the, he was sitting down below me, and I mean, fortunately, nobody has ever won a fight. I don't want to hit anybody. I don't, you know, I'd rather just say, dude, please be quiet, you know, and that's how I address it for the most part. But the guy, when we went to go see the recent Mad Max movie, the guy was talking during the trailers and the credits are rolling. And I said, dude, could you please stop talking? He's, the movie hadn't even started yet. I said, well, the opening credits are starting right now. I was like, well, why are you talking? I said, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why you are. and then he shut up. You know, Nathan was just like, I don't like having to start my damn movie experience by fussing at somebody.
Yeah.
You know? I took a girl on a date to go see one of the Twilight movies years ago. There were kids sitting on the other. Yes, I know.
It was definitely for her and for some stuff, because I know you didn't want to see that damn movie.
No, of course not. But anyway, I had to go fuss at some kids sitting on the same row that were just and they shut up after. But I'm like, no one, like, you try to let it go for a while.
Yeah.
Nope. And I went to go see Sabotage, one of Arnold's movies, and there was three college girls in there and another couple. And I'm like, first off, why are three college girls in an Arnold movie? They don't even know who Arnold is. And maybe 20 minutes in, I finally just yelled out, could you please stop talking? And they shut up. But I'm like, and then it just bothers. I had to get up and leave Age of Ultron. I had to wait till Blu-ray to see that, because it was 3 or 4 weeks out. I go to my local downtown theater last minute on a Saturday afternoon. It's jam-packed with kids and parents all over the place. I was probably the only, you know, guy in his, you know, early 30s or late 20s there. But anyway, jam-packed with kids. 40 minutes into the film, when the twins meet Ultron, the kids are still going, and not a single parent is asking people, could you please stop talking, little Jimmy? Jessica, I will do that, but please, you need to be quiet. And I finally just said, the hell with it, and got up and left, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's been times that I've went and talked to the ushers, and I'm just like, can you do, and they don't do anything. You know, maybe a solution, at least for me, when I go, they need to start, and maybe they already have, I don't think the technology is around here yet, but if they had it to where in the seat itself, since they're doing all these fancy things, they can recline, all this other bullshit, give me like a jack that I can plug a headset into, and I can just have the experience right here, and it drowns out everything. Yeah. I would do that in a heartbeat.
That, and along with there's a chain, and they've got a location here. Once you're into the actual like screening room, you get no phone service. Like,
yeah,
the phone essentially is dead. You can't text, you can't receive calls, you can't do internet. The service is cut off. That should be mandatory. As many times as they want to play before a movie, please be courteous and silence your cell phones and other mobile items. It's just like everybody's looking at that while they're texting. You know, the theater shouldn't even allow people to have internet service or phone service within the confines of the premise. You know, go out to the parking lot and text and make a phone call. The minute you enter this damn building, I don't care if you're getting popcorn or going to take a shit, you should not be able to use that phone in the theater.
Period. Yeah. And what Joe's saying, there are movies like that are infectious. When Tyler and I went and saw the Jackass films, like that was a great experience because, you know, you know what you're expecting when you get into, but, you know, all the Marvel movies, whatever, when there's like quiet moments and there's dialogue that you're trying to hear and people are still just acting that same way is what really chaps my ass. I hate it. Like, my girlfriend and I, we might go to the movie theater today, and I hope to God that it is like...
Rampage?
No. No, we're gonna see Isle of Dogs because I do like Wes Anderson's films, and it's got that stop motion, and it's got people in it that I like, and it has that kind of humor that I think I'll enjoy. The trailers to me looked intriguing just based off of the style that they went with alone, but it worries me because I'm like, here's this. I imagine there will be kids in there, but it's not a super popular film. I don't see it advertised as much, so maybe.
Like I said, I mean, when I go, like I said, it's rare that to be those instances, but I enjoy the experience. I really like it when it's good. I mean, hell, even back in the old days and before, you know, cell phones, you'd always get people that'd be a little rowdy and noisy. Just I'd hope that it's not like that all the time, but no, I would never want theaters to go away. I mean, I love it. I mean, hell, beyond that $5 deal that I told you about, we, you know, get a big old thing of popcorn. You could get refills over and over and Slurpees. You could do it. And if it's winter time and you got yourself a big coat like I do, you can bring in a styrofoam cup. And then whoever gets theirs, you can go ahead and take all their Slurpee and put it in your styrofoam cup and they can go up and fill it up. You know, it's a way of saving money, bringing cheeseburgers in your pockets. I don't know if you guys ever did that, but that's you know, because I can't pay that.
That's a staple of just sneaking in food.
And, yeah, because I mean, I could never afford the food at the theater, especially when it came to candy. It's like, okay, I could get like a Hershey bar back in the day for 45 cents, and then they had it for like $1.50. I'm like, $1.50 for that Hershey bar? It's like, no, it's going in my pocket. But no, I love my movie experience. I gotta have it as long as it's good. Like you said, there isn't idiots, but it's always bound to happen. It's like one thing that happened. I guess of a good experience, I was leaving the theater one time. I was going down the escalator, and I was going down the escalator. I seen this older lady, and it looked like with a younger girl. It looked like it was her granddaughter. And they were standing by the escalator that was going up. And, you know, I was coming down, and I seen people walking past her. And by the time I got down to the end of the escalator, there could have been at least 15 people that went past her. And I started walking out, but then I looked back at her again. I was like, why is she standing there? It just drove me so nuts. And I came up to her and I said, excuse me, miss. I said, you okay? Something wrong? She was like, I've never been on one of these things. She's like, I'm scared to go up it. I was like, oh, I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I can hold your hand. I said, I'll help you up there. She's like, I won't. She said, I won't fall. I said, no, you won't fall. I said, I promise. I said, you just hold on to my arm. I said, I'll hold on to yours. And I said, when we go up, I said, just put your hand on the side rail because she was on that side. I said, you go up. I said, when we get off, I said, trust me, you just hold me. We'll walk off this together. And we're slowly going up. And she's like, oh, thank you, sir. She's like, I never had nobody help me. And she sounded so genuinely thankful but scared. And she's like, yeah, I just never been on this. And my granddaughter wanted to see this movie. And so it was her granddaughter. And we got to the top. I helped her, you know, and she got off the thing without falling. And she thanked me. But, you know, it's like you can experience stuff like that, too. You never know what will happen. Besides, like you said, people being dicks sometimes. There's people that might need help. And if you can have a moment like that, it's fun. But I always remember that poor old lady. You know, I always wonder what's wrong. And she was just scared about an escalator.
I mean, maybe I'm just being a grumpy asshole. Maybe I'm just like old Bruce Wayne in Batman Beyond or something. I'm just sitting curmudgeoned all like hating everything. Maybe it is just me. Because I know Tyler does still enjoy going to the movies.
Oh, no, I love it. I don't want it to go away. But damn it, I'm sick and tired because I feel like all I can focus on is the idiot guys behind me who are like, oh yeah, like, you know, just talking about anything or think or trying to give commentary or make jokes or, you know, they just, you know, as if like if we talk, you know, use our indoor voice, no one else can hear us in this quiet room. And it's just frustrating because I'm trying, instead of focusing on the movie, I'm thinking about, okay, how much longer do I give these guys before I ask kindly, please stop talking? And then I'm not focusing on the movie. I'm timing the assholes behind me or in front of me or down or on the side of me. And it's you shouldn't have to do this. And
yeah.
I mean, it almost felt like is it a sign of the times? Because as a kid, I can't name five incidents where I went to the theater and had a bad experience because people wouldn't stop talking. I mean, from seeing, you know, Jurassic Park and Mortal Kombat and The Relic and, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire, Batman 89, Batman Returns, Batman Forever. The one I remember seeing two guys in front of me, Batman and Robin, who quietly said, "Dude, is it just me or does Batgirl have a mustache?" And I'm like, "Thank God!" I feel like I thought I was going crazy. Like, Alicia Silverstone looks like she's got a mustache in the movie. And the two fanboys in front of me whispered what I was thinking, so I was fine with that because they didn't talk the rest of the movie. But it's just one of those things where you felt like you could go see a tentpole movie. Everyone would clap and rejoice or scream in unison. We went to see Deep Blue Sea. Everyone jumped out of the seats when Samuel L. Jackson's screaming and yelling and the shark comes up and eats him. Then people shut up after it, you know. But you can't figure out why our adults who are 20, 30 years older than I am talking in the movie theater. And kids, the parents won't tell the kids to shut up. The college kids think they're entitled to sit and talk about, you know, oh, man, I had to take a big shit, man. You want to see a picture of it, Leroy? You know, or just, you know, anything except watch the movie. You know, I almost feel like if you're wanting to kill time, go hang out in Dick's Sporting Goods or a food court or anywhere but this room, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of my other favorite things, too, is when you have the couple that are sitting a few seats down, they're all snuggled up, but she doesn't understand what's going on, and she's asking all these questions, and he has to sit and basically explain the whole movie. And I'm like, it's not that difficult to follow. Like, you have been looking at the screen, right? Like,
so you know what I do when I go to the theater, and this has been for years, I've gotten so used to, I don't like people, like I said, usually in back of me, because sometimes whether it's talking, or I usually like having my back towards a wall so I can usually see what's going on. It's just how I've always been. So when I go to theater, I like going to the back. I'm in the back row, so there's never anybody in back of me. I don't have to worry about my seat getting accidentally bumped or kicked. I only see what's going on in front. But whoever's with me, I always tell them, don't ask me a single question during this movie. There's one thing I don't like when I'm watching a movie. I don't like anybody saying, who's that? Or what just happened? Or what did he just say? I'm like, now you asking that, I just missed what they were saying. And if I have to talk and explain, I'm going to miss what's going on as well. Yeah. So I've always tell everybody, do not talk to me during a movie. That's the only time I want complete silence, is when I'm watching a movie. It's like, don't say nothing to me.
Yeah, me too. I don't like having to stop and talk. I mean, you know, back in the day, Nathan was like, Leonard was like, so what are you thinking? I'm like, I just give him like, yeah, or something like that. Or when we went and saw the G.I. Joe movie, and I didn't have to say anything. They just looked at me and could see how, you know, him and Keith, they just were laughing because they could see. I didn't have to talk during the movie. They just saw just, it rage as red as Joe's face right now in the G.I. Joe. I didn't have to talk. Going to see Ghost Rider, we made a vow. If one of us can't make it through this movie, we get up and leave. And I told Nathan, I think we got 45 minutes in. I'm getting the hell out. He said, no, man, it'd be great to stay a little longer. I said, oh, hell with this shit. And we got up and left, I think, 10 minutes later after that. You know, it's just, you know, come on, people. We're not asking much. Shut the hell up. If you don't want to watch the movie, if you'd rather talk, stay outside. Talk instead of talk to each other. Text each other in the parking lot if you don't want to talk. You know, if you really got to use that phone, step outside and do it, man. But, man, for God's sakes. And they always do. They always look at you like you're a prick.
Yeah.
Because you had balls to sit and ask this total stranger, could you please tell your girlfriend to stop talking? Sir, could you please stop coughing on my neck? Could you please stop kicking my chair? Me and my brother went to go see Civil War, Marvel Civil War, the second time. We had to tell this family and their youngest son, Derek, turned around and told the father to ask him, could you please get your child to please be quiet? And the little boy, we heard, he's sitting as close as my He-Man collection is to me right now, heard him tell his dad, I don't like him. About my brother, and then I had to lean back and say something else because they finally took the child out of the damn theater.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't like you either. How you like that, you little bastard?
God. I was gonna say real quick in the chat room, somebody had to be sarcastic with me. Not mean. He's a buddy. He was like, wait, what just happened in this podcast? I missed it. Explain it, Joe, because you know earlier I was telling I don't like explaining stuff during the movie. So let me just say, shut it, Simpson. So there, that's acknowledging somebody in the chat room. But no, so well, there you go. I mean, we talked about Naked Gun as much.
That was such a long rant.
Hey, that was a side rant.
Something that needed to be said. It's been bothering me like ever since Tyler and I had that conversation about it, because I've just been thinking, I'm like, I have so much more fun just sitting here watching movies and not having to worry about anything. Like I don't want to say I get anxiety about it, but just if we go today, we'll sit in the back, and then when people are coming in, I'm automatically like, oh, I wonder how this is going to go, you know?
Yeah, sit all the way in the back, sit in the middle. That is my perfect spot for when I go to theater. I have to be in the back row, in the middle of the row, so I can just...
I got
to
sit in the back. I'm not going to crawl over people. If I have to get up and go to the bathroom, I'm sitting at the end where you got more leg room, you got access to the steps.
Oh, true. I know what you mean.
That's my prime spot.
Sometimes I like the center experience, because usually... half the time, there's not a lot of people in the back row. I don't know why, but a lot of people don't like going to the back where I go. So I'm usually lucky. And if I have to pass anybody, it might be 2-3 people.
Well, I mean, if you are going to the movies and you're wearing your mask, I can see why they wouldn't want to sit near you.
What the fuck? Exactly. Like, sit next to this guy. But yeah, so there you go. We did our discussion on Naked Gun, but we had our first opening where I talked and discussed about some of those Adventure Batman Robin games, which everyone's great, from the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Sega CD. If you haven't played them, somehow play them. They're all great for individual ones. And then we always have our side rants, which ended with that crazy different rant at the end, but it was good. So, well, I'll pass it to you, Nathan. Do your thing. How are you going to close this up?
Yeah, if you're checking us out on YouTube for the first time, go ahead and hit that subscribe. Hit the bell so you get notified. Go check out all the other videos. Leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing, what you like, what you don't like. your movie theater experiences. If you have any terrible ones, please feel free to share those. Check out the other links. We'll have the audio version of that when it's uploaded on to Podbean and the Facebook page, when you can see like what we're going to be talking about, because Tyler usually hints at it a little more in the hours before we do the show. And feel free to leave comment there too if you don't do it on the YouTube video. Send the email, because Joe brought up the email yesterday. I almost forgot about that again. BeyondRetro84@gmail.com. If you don't want to leave any comments there, any questions for us, email, comment, whatever. Just any feedback, we would love to hear from all of you guys.
Yes, so everybody in the chat room, again, thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it. I know we did our little ranting, which there was a couple mentions there about the rants, and renamed the show Grumpy Not That Old Men. But,
that's not bad.
That's not a bad name for a podcast, Grumpy Not Old Men.
You know what? Maybe we can the next time there's a subject like the movie theater thing or something, maybe we can do another video and just call it that.
Grumpy Not That Old Men.
Yeah.
Photoshop ourselves on like the Grumpy Old Men poster, and like just insert Joe's mask off to the side. Like, put me on Walter Matthau, Nathan be Jack Lemmon, and we just have Joe's face, like the Modulot mask just kind of pop up in the back. Like a really bad Photoshop job that's done by like Lionsgate home video or something like that.
I could be the one guy's father, the one who was, when he was flirting, oh, like, yeah, you want to look at my Meredith.
Yeah,
you want to Taylor, look at my beefy baloney, and he kept saying so many different things about that. So
what do the guys in the chat say? Are they just like, oh no, here they go again? Is it
No. It's just like Chris Simpson was just giving us some shit. He's like, y'all complain a lot. And then he said, where was it? He's like, rename the show Crumpy Not That Old Man.
Yeah. We will keep that in mind when we do like other things. I kind of want to take that idea and run with it now.
He just said it. He said
that. Honestly, when I listen to podcasts, I like hearing like certain people gripe and argue about stuff, especially if it's something I find interesting or something I don't care about. But sometimes it can be quite funny to listen to Tone C Dave, Dan Levitard Show, Bruce Pritchard's podcast, to see any of these guys just get pissed off and go on rants. And I enjoy it. That's why, you know.
Yeah, he even said, he says, I give you guys so many good ideas. And then we'll have to see if this happens too. He says, hold on, where was that? He says, He said, okay, I want to go 1 week without Tyler complaining about jokes.
That's not going to happen. I'm sorry. There's no way.
People realize that, you know what, you can make a good movie that has dashes of humor and not, okay, joke. Joke, somewhat serious situation. End it with a joke. Joke. I will not, because they've made great movies before this. And just because everyone decides now we got to make every horror movie, every action movie, every drama, it's got to be a comedy. Superheroes are no longer superhero movies. They're comedies with superheroes in them.
I was waiting on him to say Yuck Fest, because that's kind of been like his little go-to word lately.
Well, it is a damn Yuck Fest. I mean... crying out loud, man.
JSP.
You read a damn comic book, they're not telling jokes throughout the damn thing.
Real quick, I was going to say, JSP said, listen to Conrad Thompson and Bruce Pritchard argue over stuff. So,
I love that. I love hearing people argue about it. So, I it's hard for me to imagine, unless people just thought our what we had to say wasn't enjoyable, period, that our you know, arguments of Freddy versus Jason is no good, or
bullshit.
Joe, what is it that Joe doesn't like about me? That Nathan and Joe don't like Frasier and Seinfeld. I'm like, I get it. It's not humor for everybody, but it could all be argued about. But that would be something I really don't think I could argue with you guys about, because Nathan's given it a shot multiple times. He doesn't like it. Joe doesn't give anything a try unless he can, you know, play it on PlayStation or something like that.
Is that it?
What? You know, It's kind of like, I get it, you know. Whereas Joe would be so persistent to check it out. I'm like, no, Joe, I'm not going to check that out. I'll just tell you right now, I'm probably not going to watch that, you know.
Yeah, good way of trying to. You just contradict. You say what I do, and he does the same thing. So there you go. But
I'm telling you right up, no, we probably won't make that happen, like Larry David or something like that, you know.
Yeah. I think one thing that we can agree on is that Naked Gun and that style of humor is fantastic.
It is.
It's fine. And it's humor that does, it's not dated. Like, you, when we watch this, you don't feel like, oh, it's a product of its time. You know, it was funny back in the day, and I watch it for nostalgia reasons. Like, stick it up your ass. The movie's
The beginning is something that is honestly kind of weird to watch now, because it's like, you know, we've made fun of world leaders and everything in the past, but just the way that that beginning was done, yeah. I watch it now, and I was just like, that is one part I think that puts it back in that time, because back then we weren't as, or at least it didn't seem that way. I mean, we were kids, so it probably was just as serious, but it didn't seem like we took terrorism as seriously back then, because nothing had really happened to us on our soil. So to watch it now and see it, I'm like, whoa, that's kind of strange to see how lightly we kind of took that. Maybe it's just in the context of the film, because when the first one came out, I was 4 years old. So I probably didn't see all the terrible things going on in the world at the time. But that's just, it's kind of weird to go back. Joe, how do you?
No, I was going to say, yeah, it's just, it's stuff that I think they still spoof that in different ways in movies. But yeah, I remembered how that began. That was different. And I did know about the events. So things were humorous, especially with Gorbachev having that mark on his head rubbed off. Yeah, exactly. He went squeaking. He's like, I knew it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just classic. But well, there you go. You thought we were done. We had another quick side rant even after our closing stuff. But that's pretty much it. Hope you enjoyed it. And to close it with something that Leslie would say, by the way, I faked every orgasm.
Yeah, look at Joey doing the quotes there.
See you guys next week.
All right.